right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you all had a great week. I spent yesterday hiking out in Woodstock for my birthday. Cinco de Mayo, baby. So I'm 22 now, no longer at that exciting 21 age. Now it's time to adult, right? Anyway, I don't feel older, but so a year goes by really fast, though. It does. It's crazy. I feel like I just had my birthday. But anyway, so I went hiking. I went to Overlook Mountain. It's down in Woodstock, New York. And, oh, it was a great hike. You have to have a lot of stamina. It's not difficult, but it was, like, steep uphill the entire way up the mountain. There were good places to stop and take breaks, but it only took like 50 minutes though, so it wasn't too bad. It's like an hour drive there for me, and the drive was really nice. And so then we parked and went up the mountain. And so fun fact, towards the top of the mountain there's this abandoned hotel. It was built in 1820s or something like that, for like New York's elites. And it has a crazy history. It's so funny. They built this hotel and then shortly shut it down thereafter because lack of business. Like, go figure. You're on a mountain. Nobody's walking up this thing to come stay at your hotel. So they shut it down, and then someone reopened it and like added 300 rooms onto it, which I don't think is a good business investment if they had to shut it down. But so anyway, they added 300 rooms and a stable and a guest house, and it burnt down, and then they rebuilt it, and it burnt down again, and then they rebuilt it, and then it burnt down again.
Holy
mackerel. So there's still not like a little, there's a lot left of this place still. We went searching through the rooms and the halls. We went downstairs. Like, a lot of it's still intact for being burnt down three times. But in 1920 something, I think it was sold to the state. They were finally just gave it to the state. So it's been abandoned since the early 1900s.
Huh? It's on the hill.
Yeah, it's on the mountain. It's right near the top of the mountain. It's crazy.
It's like that Stephen King novel there with.
Oh yeah, like that hotel.
Yeah, where they got locked
in Colorado.
In the wintertime. The Shining.
Yeah, I love that movie. It was that was a big book.
Yeah, it was.
It took like three chapters to describe The Office. Like, just tell me that the walls painted.
Maybe they could film the movie up there in the wintertime.
Yeah. Well, it's all kind of like old.
Yeah.
It, I don't know. But it does remind me of that. When I heard about it, I immediately thought of The Shining. Yeah. But we walked through. They still have the, in the windows, the metal things that held the glass.
Oh, really?
That's all still intact. There's no glass on it, obviously, but all the, I don't know what they're called,
things. The shutters? Or?
They did open. They weren't shutters, though. But I don't know. Go take the hike in.
Yeah, really? But the state owns the property.
Yeah,
now.
The state owns it now. And it was really, really, really neat. I'll be posting some pictures, definitely. I took a lot of pictures. And so we got to the top of the mountain, and just the view was incredible, and it was packed. So many people were on the mountain that day. It's very heavily trafficked.
And well, it was a really nice day.
It was a really yesterday. Nice day, too. It was like 82 or something like that, and sunny. It was great. Really was. And so then we spent, after we got off the mountain, spent some time in Woodstock, went to this really, really cool brewery, and then they sent us over to the owner's girlfriend owns a place in the town of Woodstock, and so we went there, had really, really great food, has a lot of vegetarian vegan options, and so I'll be posting about that too if anyone wants to take a road trip. But
did you see where the concert was, the property where the concert was back
no
then? No
No, okay. We didn't. Something was going on in town. It was really, really packed. There were a whole bunch of like street vendors and stuff. And so we ate food and then headed back up here. So anyway, that was my birthday. Took a birthday hike. It was really, really nice. And I'm glad it was the first hike of the season, I think. Or did I go hiking recently?
I think you went hiking.
I thought I went hiking recently. Yeah. I can't really remember.
I think a couple of weeks ago you said you went hiking.
So maybe it was the second one of the season. Who knows? Anyway, we'll have to go back I was going to go hiking and then it wasn't nice. It wasn't nice out. So anyway, let's go get on to these topics for today. So something that made me very, very angry the other day was this. It's in the news and I can't believe that this is news and not everything else that's going on in the world. But this made the news. This girl, I don't remember what state she was from, wore a prom dress that was like Chinese-like. And it was really, really pretty. And she wore it because she loves the Chinese culture. And she wanted to implement that with her prom dress. And you'll have to go look at it. But it was in no way mocking Chinese culture at all. And she posted a picture. And all it said, it was her in her prom dress. She posted a picture. All it said was prom. She got so much hate on it. Like, on Twitter and everything, and from people in her school that she was, it's like cultural appropriation, and that she's mocking the Chinese culture. And people are like, well, I'm Native American and you wouldn't see me wearing a Native American prom dress.
Why not?
Exactly. Why not? Like, why does everything have to be so PC? This PC culture that people are trying to put us into and live in is absolutely ridiculous. It makes no sense. It's like PC, being PC and like talking PC is just, it's like a form of brainwashing. It's like saying you can only use this vocabulary when talking about X topic. And no, you should be able to say whatever. And you know, I don't really like Trump, but one thing I can say about him is that he's not PC at all. Mm-hmm. And that's great. He shouldn't have to be.
No, he shouldn't. I mean, if you have something to say to somebody, say it.
Yeah.
You don't mean to offend them. You know, did you hear about the school in California? I think, did we mention this last week where you can't call a friend of yours a best friend?
No.
The school districts won't let you.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, the school districts won't let you use the term best friend anymore because it, they feel it may alienate
the other friends that you
some
have.
Kids,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that are friends of yours.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, here we go, you know.
Like, come on. This is, and I know I keep bringing this up, but read 1984 by George Orwell. PC is kind of like having the thought police. Saying that you can't say this, you can't say that. And in 1984, it's you can't think this. And they read your thoughts and everything. It's going to get to that soon. But I can't believe this girl just... She even came on the news to speak about her prom dress. And oh my God, I feel so bad for her that she wore a really nice dress to prom and she's just getting torn apart for it. It's ridiculous.
Now, I don't want to go off the subject at all because you have your plot that, you know, you're going to work off today. But, you know, you talk about internet abuse and how there's some kids that can get really low and commit suicide. Well, when obviously this girl is smart because she's come on and defended. But can you imagine a kid who wants to do something nice like that and not meaning any bad new, you know, anything bad, and getting all these mock, you know, texts
like hate
and
mail.
Hate mail. I mean, that's one of the reasons why. It's because you're afraid to do anything today.
Mm.
And I mean, I don't know. Back when I was growing up, that would have been kind of like a neat thing to do, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a great idea. I mean, she loves the Chinese culture and she wanted to wear something that she loved, and in no way did she mean any harm to anybody. It wasn't in a mocking manner or anything like that. And I think people overreact way too much. We're in this shaming culture where you gotta shame everybody for everything that they do. Everything is like put under a microscope, and I don't like it.
Nope.
But like I said, with Trump, I think one of the best things that's going on with him is that he's trying to pull PC out. It's definitely something different, and a lot of people don't like it because it's different, and not a lot of people like change. And but we do need some change. I mean, there's definitely, you have to be diplomatic as a president or as like a public figure, but not all the time. Like, diplomatic when you're speaking to like other countries or something, but even then you don't have to be completely PC. So another thing about Trump that I do like is he has made people aware. He has made people get into politics more, and just because he's so outlandish. And people are, like, paying attention to what's going on now. And maybe it'll be a good thing, maybe it won't be a good thing, but at least people are trying to see what's going on. Yes. Definitely. So something I wanted to talk about today was state-run healthcare, and most of you can already probably guess my stance on that. I'm not a fan of state-run healthcare. I'm not a fan of the government stepping in anything. And honestly, healthcare is a service that is provided. And you pay for that. So anytime you have a service, you pay for that. It's just like going to get your car fixed. You bring it to a body shop. So you bring it to a car doctor. You have to pay for that. These doctors and stuff are providing you with a service. So you should have to pay for that. And so I think the best solution to getting everybody affordable healthcare is not through the state run healthcare, but as more like a free market solution to it, which we'll get into. But the reason why state run healthcare doesn't really work out so much is because forcing everybody to have healthcare drives the prices up crazy. And they say that you can't be denied if you have a pre-existing condition, which that sucks if you do. But I think a health insurance company should be able to decide if they want to take you on or not, because that could be a big risk for them. Maybe they don't have enough funds to take on all these people with pre-existing conditions. I'm sure somebody's going to take you. Some health insurance is going to take you. But they shouldn't be forced to have to take you if they think that you're high risk for them. Another thing about our healthcare system is that you can't buy healthcare across state lines, which is dumb. I can get car insurance out of North Carolina. Why can't I get health insurance out of Louisiana if it's cheaper? And it just, I don't know. There's free market solutions to it, and people don't seem to think that. So, side note, you guys can call in if you're listening. You can call in and ask questions. That is working now. And so if you would like to do that, the number is 518-290-6601. And if you call in, have any questions or comments, you want to add something, chat with me, I'd be more than happy to talk with you. And so anytime we have a show, you can do that. Not just right now, anytime. So I have this article here, and it's really funny. It's really, really, really funny. It's titled, "There Are No Free Market Solutions to Healthcare." And people believe this. People believe this. Okay. So who wrote this? By Geoff Coventry, or maybe it's Jeff Coventry, whatever his name is. So anyway, he says, "Republicans in both chambers claim they're doing this to support freedom and choice for the American people. They say the free market is the only way to provide Americans with access to affordable health care. They claim deregulation will help drive down health costs. Yes, it will. It will. Deregulating is just going to make health insurance less expensive. So when Obamacare was put into place, I remember my dad was outraged with the individual mandate, saying that everybody, every single person had to have health insurance or they got taxed a fine on their taxes at the end of the year. And it's expensive, too. So the problem with that, which Trump repealed the individual mandate. So I think that came into effect in 2018 now. So at the end of at the end, when we do taxes next year, you won't have to do that part. But OK, so making everybody purchase health insurance. Some people don't really need it. Like people my age, 22, a lot of people my age don't need health insurance that much. They're pretty healthy. We are pretty healthy. And a lot of them just don't like to go to the doctor. So why do they need to buy it? You're just forcing people to ill. A lot of us don't have a lot of money either at this age. And you're just forcing more people into poverty by telling them they have to purchase health insurance. And then they're like, well, we have like a program where if you can't afford it, we'll find you something. But even going through that, the premiums are outrageous.
And that's what happened. That's what we found out with, I call it socialized medicine. When the government makes you buy medicine, you had to buy Obamacare. And you see what the premiums did in 3 years. They kept doubling and doubling. And there's no way to control it.
No.
So, I mean, what good was that? It was, that's what it was supposed to stop. And it didn't.
No, of course it didn't. It only made it worse. Right. And so saying that, oh, well, we can pay for your health insurance. Okay, well, with what money? The government doesn't actually have any money. They get all their money from us. So really what they mean when they say we'll pay for your health insurance is we're going to take money away from other people that work hard for it and pay for your health insurance with it. That's not right. You can't do that. You can't, like, if your friend has $20, you can't tell your other friend, hey, I'm gonna pay for your dinner tonight with my other friend's money. Okay, well, is that okay with the other friend? Probably not. So let's keep going here. This guy says, well, for starters, the so-called free markets are unicorns. Fanciful creatures with magical powers that don't exist in the real world. Are you kidding me? What? Unicorns. Free markets are unicorns. Like, I don't know how they allowed this to be published on this site. I really don't know. Who's the editor of this thing? So, he goes, all markets are designed. They don't emerge spontaneously from nature. What? Does this guy know business at all?
Well, he's probably on every federal program to get money that's known to man.
Okay, so this article at the top of the page has a picture of someone holding a sign that says, tax the rich. That's not going to... No. If you increase taxes on rich people, guess what? They go put their money somewhere else. It's not going to be taxed.
Right. Well, not only... Yeah, they put their money somewhere else, and the business they own doesn't hire as many people. Mm-hmm. And
it doesn't do anything. So he goes, we form, structure, regulate, and enforce markets through policy and institutions which reflect private and public interests. When it comes to healthcare, we're talking about something closer to a natural monopoly like electricity. Not an industry like autos or breakfast cereals. Okay, no, that's wrong. Because I'm sorry, but like I said, healthcare is a service. It's a service provided to you by people in that field. Going to see a doctor, that doctor provides you with a service. This is not a natural monopoly. Healthcare is not a right. And it's not a right. People seem to think being provided healthcare is a right. It's not.
So we, like going to school to be a carpenter?
Or going to school is not a right either. No. These are all privileges. And I'm not trying to be insensitive, but like, it's just fact. It's a fact that it's not a right. Just like electricity and everything, that's not a right either. Having clean water is not a right. All these things are industries that provide a service. Electrical companies, they provide us with electricity. We have to pay for that electricity. Clean water, we have companies that clean the water and provide us with water. We pay for that. This whole natural monopoly thing is a joke. Like, these are services, not rights. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how people think this way. I don't get it. Please explain to me. Okay, so let's go on. He says, everyone needs basic medical services on a regular basis, and we need to make sure the same quality is available to everybody, even in hard-to-reach or low-income areas. All right, so if you want quality service, that doesn't come through the government. Everything the government does is not good quality. I don't know if you guys are familiar with like the UK's healthcare system, but it is a mess. Mm-hmm. They have, universal healthcare, and so when you have everybody, when you provide healthcare for every single individual in the country, that means all these people can go to the doctor. So what does that mean? All these people that weren't able to go before are now going because they have healthcare, health insurance. That's too many people. There's not enough doctors. You can't just increase the customer base before you increase the doctor base. Mm-hmm. Because before you had people that weren't going, they weren't being seen because they couldn't, they couldn't afford it. And now everybody can. So there's too many people. These hospitals, emergency rooms are overcrowded in the UK. They can't treat everybody. There's just not enough supplies. There's not enough room to see everybody. You wait forever. You have critical conditions and you can't be seen quick enough. And that's the kind of thing that happens when everybody has health insurance, and nobody seems to understand that. So the quality of service goes down when it's government run, because there's no competition. There is no competition. Quality comes out of competition. If someone's doing a better job than you and you want their business that they have with people, you got to up your game a little and do better than they are. But it's like the DMV. The DMV is all run by the government. They have no competition or drive to do better.
That's right.
So they can just give you the worst service possible because you can't go anywhere else. That's what happens when government steps into things, and stepping into healthcare is only going to make it worse. People are going to go untreated, just like before. They're not helping getting treatment to people. They really aren't. And it's just not going to work out. So going on with this, where was I? He goes, this will always require some form of direct government funding of services, especially with respect to primary care. Failing to do so means we're not serious about the goal of quality care for all Americans. This doesn't necessarily mean an entirely government-run system. There's plenty of room for private medical practices and businesses to provide the spectrum of services we need, but it does mean some degree of public funding is essential. Why? 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 A fully privatized system can never adequately provision the nation. Rural communities don't have adequate medical facilities and staff. Underdeveloped urban communities suffer from the same lack of basic resources, and their residents often don't have the ability or time to travel to other locations. Okay, wait. So you're totally debunking what you're saying here. Like, he's saying that we need to provide healthcare for everybody because for some reason this guy thinks giving people healthcare is going to give them the ability and time to travel to these locations that they don't have. I don't understand that. How is giving them healthcare making them able to get somewhere? They still can't get there.
I know.
So we're paying for them for healthcare to go to places they still can't get to. So if you're saying they have nowhere to go, why would you be saying to give them healthcare if they can't get there? It doesn't make sense. Here, let's just throw our money in the fire.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, while you're talking about this, I'm looking at the Canadian healthcare system, and everybody looks to that as like the best system in the world as far, but it's the Canadians don't even know their own healthcare because it's public and government paid, not just government paid. So doctors are employed by them, are self-employed. They don't work for the government. So when they can charge the government for some of the services, but all across the country, they don't have the same services. Like you may have your baby in a hospital and it's delivered by a doctor, but in the next province, they use midwives. You don't get your baby delivered by a doctor. So it's like it's not the same. I mean, and I don't know. I think I'd want a doctor there when my baby was born in case there are complications. I know they used to use midwives, and some still do. But so their healthcare system is all screwed up. That's why a lot of Canadians come across the border and use our hospitals and doctors because they aren't covered in their own country. So it's
healthcare just because everything the government touches. Just become.
Yeah, you're right.
As soon as they interfere with it, they say they're helping you out, but they're really not. And them trying to provide healthcare for everybody just gives our country, the people in our country, the notion that we are dependent on them. Mm-hmm. And that's what they want to do it. They want to make us dependent on them. And that way we can't function without them. So if they have to provide us healthcare, that's just one more thing to be dependent on. That's why they're paying for college. That's why they're pushing people to go to college and take out loans with them, because then you are a slave to them. Mm-hmm. You owe them.
And then it goes on in life, too, at work. Why work? The government, I depend on the government. The government will take care of me.
Yeah.
I'm due that because I live in America. It takes away your self-worth. I mean, there's people that live on the government generations.
Yeah, they generations of welfare,
and
yes.
And it's terrible.
And also, everyone's so worried about the immigration issues, the problems we have. So many people coming into our country. Well, if we got rid of all these social programs, that might be it. Maybe it's not a wall that we need. Maybe it's that we need to get rid of all these social programs that, like, people just idolize. They're like, oh, well, America's just going to give me a check every week and pay for my doctor's bills. Mm-hmm. Let's go there. So if we got rid of those, I bet we'd see immigration and crime related to immigration go down, because nobody would want to come here because we're not just handing out money.
Right.
But that's never the solution to immigration. That's never going to be the solution, right?
Well, I doubt it very much. It should be the solution. And that's another
thing
I like President Trump for. I mean, he's realistic in what he wants, and he knows how to do it. I mean, being a businessman, he makes the decisions and they're carried out. Here you can't do that. You have to play political games. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though he's got good ideas that would make America better, they won't go for it, you know, because I don't know.
He's just, Trump is really like a figurehead. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really get to do anything. It's all his administration that they do everything. Congress does everything. He could say what he wants to say. He can get out ideas, but Congress is never really going to work with him on things. I'm surprised that he got tax cuts through. I know a lot of people wanted them, but it's kind of hard to when you got to fund all these programs.
Well, I was watching a news show today, and they said unemployment is down to 3.9%, and it's the lowest it's been down in over 20 years. And one of the people at the table said they were arguing about it. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, the report came out last week, and they just don't want to believe that the country is turning around because people are doing it themselves. without the government.
Right.
I mean, he gave businesses the tax cuts to do more with their money to hire more people.
Right.
And that's what they did. And the unemployment rate's going down. But they don't like it because the government's not involved in it.
Like, people just think giving tax breaks to rich people or businesses and corporations and stuff is a terrible thing. I think if you're giving a tax break, you should, or tax cuts, you should be giving it across the board to everybody. But hey, I'm going to take it as it comes. A tax cut here is great. A tax cut there is great. Like, just yes, keep getting rid of them, please. So people get scared. They're like, oh, well, if you give the businesses more money, they're going to be greedy with it and everything. No, they have an incentive to not be greedy. The government is who is going to be greedy with the money, not the businesses. The government has no incentive to provide, like I said, provide quality services and everything like that. There is no other government. Like, this is, there's one.
Sorry.
They are a monopoly. So giving money to businesses, that they're going to put it into their business. It's an investment. It's a great investment for them. They hire more people. They make better products. Products get cheaper. And really, that's why a free market solution is the best option for healthcare, because when you have competition between health insurance companies, it drives the price down, because they want to give quality service at the lowest price possible, because they want customers, they want business. And then so other insurance companies start doing deals and lowering premiums and stuff. So then, okay, well, everybody else has to too. And so it's this constant competition of trying to get the best quality service with the lowest prices. It's the same thing with car insurance. You shop around, you see who has the best rates for you. And if like a month later, you see somebody else's premiums for car insurance went down, you switch companies. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you should be able to go across state lines too, because other states could be cheaper than your state. And I really, really honestly believe that the free market is the solution to the health problem. And apparently that's a scary thing for people.
People in control, because now it's out of their hands and they can't control it. That's why when we were talking earlier on, and I had said how I was for a flat tax, that everybody paid the same tax on no matter what they bought. So if you're buying a yacht, you're paying 17%, and if you're buying a canoe, you're paying 17% that way. And but the government won't ever change that, because they can't control the money then. I mean, they showed that, Steve Forbes showed that it would make more money for the government, so we wouldn't have to be in debt, and you could fill out your income tax return on a postcard, and they still, it's still not good.
Yeah, free markets are scary to the government, because it's really, it's driven by the people, not them. And honestly, the people they control the free market. If a company's not doing something right, they go out of business because of the people. When the government gets involved, that's when you have just bad businesses staying in business. Like I said, the healthcare system, you just have really bad quality healthcare. So this guy, going back to the article, what's he say? He says, a healthy nation is a prosperous nation. This is primarily a challenge of real resources and the distribution of those resources, not of money. Congress can and should authorize any necessary funding to achieve the stated public goal simply by appropriating the funds. This includes designing a system that will ensure there are enough facilities, doctors, nurses, specialists, transportation systems, and all other elements of quality care in close proximity to all who need it at any level of need and ability to pay. I'm sorry, like, if you have a health condition, you got to figure out, like, go to a charity if you have to. Ask for donations, help. I went to Colony Center Mall, had, like, this little beer tasting thing. This guy that has a brewery in like Lake George or whatever, his daughter had cancer or something, and so he was trying to raise money for her doctor bills. That's what people need to do. Mm-hmm. If you can't afford something like that, like say you get a medical emergency or whatever, you ask for donations, you go to charities, churches, do something. This guy was out there doing beer test or beer tasting. You paid $5, you got 5 tickets, you got to taste 5 different beers. And then you could donate to, if you want to donate more money. And people are naturally charitable. Mm-hmm. And people tend to think that humans are like not charitable in nature, but we really are. We want to help people out. Not everybody's greedy. I'd say more people are charitable than not charitable.
Well, we get more to charity in this country than anybody else in the world.
Yeah, and imagine if we weren't being taxed to pay for healthcare. If we got to keep more of the money that we make every week, that's more money that we would be charitable with. Yeah, we would. We're also selfish creatures, spend it on ourselves, but the more money that you have, that's more money you're willing to give up when you see things like that. Mm-hmm. So we went and we got the $5 tickets, and so that was $10. And then when we left, we each put in $10 more in the bucket as we left. So we gave them a total of $30, I think. And so they had a lot of people there, too. I bet they did really, really good. And that's the kind of things you need to do. Take your time. Stop being lazy. Take your time. Go raise some money doing something fun. And have a garage sale or something. Like there's definitely ways. And people just need to stop looking at the government for help. Mm-hmm. Because that's not the answer. Let's see here. So we all heard about, or maybe you didn't if you're not into the news, the Alfie thing. And this is a true example of what happens when the government gets involved. So I pulled something up here from Ron Paul, the great Ron Paul. All libertarians love him. Yeah. So from the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity, I found a little article about Baby Alfie. It's titled Baby Alfie, the Latest Victim of Omnipotent Government. So this is a really, really great article that sheds some light on it and adds in some like PC culture stuff that we were talking about before. So I'm going to read this to you. 23-month-old Alfie Evans passed away in a British hospital on Saturday. Not yesterday, but when this did happen, like last Saturday or something. While the official cause of death was a degenerative brain disease, Alfie may have been murdered by the British healthcare system and the British High Court. Doctors at the hospital treating Alfie decided to remove his life support against the wishes of Alfie's parents. The High Court not only upheld the doctor's authority to override the parents' wishes, it refused to allow the parents to take Alfie abroad for treatment. Which, I don't think the government should be able to tell you where you go treat your kid, but that's what happens when you have state-run healthcare. They decide where you get your care from, and they said, no, you can't go there. They basically killed this kid. So in upholding the government's authority to substitute its judgment for that of Alfie's parents, the High Court is following in the footsteps of authoritarians throughout history. Ever since Plato, supporters of big government have sought to put government in charge of raising children. The authoritarianism of a system where experts can override parents is underscored by a police warning that they were monitoring social media posts regarding Alfie. Alfie's cause is not just an example of the dangers of allowing government to override parental authority or the failures of socialized medicine. It shows the logical result of the widespread acceptance of the idea that rights are mere privileges bestowed by government. It follows from this idea that rights can be taken away whenever demanded by government officials or the popular will. Of course, most Western politicians deny they believe rights came from the government. Instead, they claim that government must place reasonable limits on rights to advance important policy goals, such as limiting the rights of free speech to protect certain groups from hate speech, or limiting property rights to promote economic equality. but a right by its very nature cannot be limited or abolished and still be a right. This disdain for a true understanding of rights is found among both liberals and conservatives. Both support a welfare warfare state funded via the theft of income taxes and the indirect theft of inflation. Both support jailing people for nonviolent actions like drinking raw milk. Many politicians, regardless of ideology, support restrictions on parental rights, such as mandatory vaccination laws. While claiming to support the right to life, most modern liberals not only support legalized abortion, they want to force pro-lifers to fund abortion providers. Both the right-wing neocons and the left-wing humanitarian interventionists dismiss the innocents killed in U.S. military actions as inconsequential collateral damage. Mm-hmm. Yes, human lives are just collateral damage. America's founding fathers rejected the idea that rights come from government. They instead embraced the views that rights are either granted by the Creator or are a basic attribute of humanity. Since rights do not come from the government, government has no more legitimate authority to violate our rights than does a private individual. Thus, if an individual cannot use force to make you help others, neither can the government. If an individual cannot use force to stop you from gambling online or telling un-PC jokes, neither can the government. If an individual cannot use force to stop parents from seeking medical treatment for their child, neither can the government. Widespread acceptance of natural rights and the principle of non-aggression that flows from natural rights is key to obtaining and maintaining a free society. Thus, educating people in the benefits of free markets, individual liberty, and a foreign policy of peace and free trade is the key to protecting future Evanses and other victims of the welfare warfare state.
Yeah, his last name was Evans.
Evans. So future Alfie Evanses. As well as to resorting respect for the moral principles of liberty among critical mass of the people. So, right. The government needs to be treated like an individual person. Mm-hmm. They cannot use force on anybody to make you do something. They cannot tell you can't say things or do things to protect other people. It's just we should hold them to the standard that you hold yourself and other people.
Right.
And I don't think most people do. They just think that they have more authority, and really that's dangerous.
But if you give them that right, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, this case was sad because
it is sad. It's very sad.
The Italian government and the Pope wanted to bring him to a Rome hospital, and the hospital pulled him off of the ventilation that day and said it would be cruel and inhumane if they sent him there, and he kept breathing on his own. So, I mean, what could have been done that you don't know?
No, but they wanted to see. They have a right to go somewhere else. But, I mean, when your government provides your health care, you give them the power to tell you where you can and cannot receive it. And that's why getting government involved is dangerous. Because as soon as you let them take a little bit of your freedom and your right to choose, they you give them an inch and they take a mile. Mm-hmm. They just start taking away from you left and right. And that's how I feel about the gun laws too. Like you give them a little bit and they take way too much. You got to stand your ground, tell them, no, you don't have a say. If I can't tell the person next to me what doctor they can go to. No, they should have a choice. Yeah. They should definitely have a choice. So the government shouldn't be able to tell them that either.
No, and that's, on your gun law outlook there, that's why the NRA will not, even if they want to, they will not let anything go, because they said if you give them one thing, they're going to come back and want you to eliminate
10 more.
Mm-hmm. And they said that the law is the law, and that's what we're going to go by. And yeah, it's true. I mean, you can't give in.
No, you can't give in because it's so dangerous. You see what happens when you give in. You things like Hitler Germany, yeah, when you start giving in to what they're saying. I mean, so like the idea with Hitler was is that he was this war hero. He was praised. So then he started saying these outlandish things little by little, and he was a very good persuader. And he started saying, you know, like, we're in poverty, and like it's because of this group of people, and let me tell you why. He's like, I have this idea, it's gonna be good. It's scary. Like, if you're good with words, good with persuasion, you get a little bit of following, and then yep, as soon as you get a little bit, you start going more and more, and then you got people hooked, and then they just go along with what you say.
Right.
So you really got to be careful and put everything that government tells you under a microscope and analyze it and like see what they're really trying to do. And the thing with the healthcare is they're really just trying to make you dependent on them. They're trying to be able to tell you what you can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And it's not good. It's dangerous.
It is. And there were alternatives, but they didn't want to hear about them. And I mean, that they think that there's no country where socialized medicine is working.
No.
Not one.
Nope.
And I mean, but we have to follow, you know, President Obama had to follow the countries that ran things, and because that's what he wanted to do, and that was wrong.
It was wrong, and like I said, the individual mandate was absolutely ridiculous, and I'm more than happy that that's gone. Because that...
I felt sorry for kids coming out of college that owed this big debt from college debt, mm-hmm, and here if they didn't take the insurance and make monthly payments, it wasn't even free insurance. You had to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to pay a penalty, which was even larger at the end of the year. It didn't make sense to me.
And like I said, requiring everyone to have health insurance spikes up the premiums, because then they have to absolutely take on everybody. And that's including high risk people. Mm-hmm. And then so you have all these high risk people that have to have health insurance. And so they got to be paid for somehow. So you have to spike. That's why the premiums are so high.
Well, what they were hoping was that the younger
people would pay would for get that, in yeah,
and pay those premiums, and the older people that needed more of the services would be paid for by the younger people.
Mm-hmm. That's wrong. That's so wrong.
And I mean, you know, and then that wasn't working, so here we go. I mean, you know, they were up to more than what insurance costs if you bought it yourself somewhere.
Yeah. Insurance through the marketplace is expensive, mm-hmm, very expensive. And they're just asking to keep people in poverty. They keep saying, oh, we're going to have good programs that are going to get you out of poverty. We're going to help pay for your stuff and everything. But then they just throw more people into poverty because it spiked the premiums up. And now people that didn't want to take out subsidized healthcare ended up having to, mm-hmm, because there was no way they could pay the premium. And so now they're dependent on a government program, and they didn't want to at all. Right. But there's no choice. There's no option. But luckily now you don't have to have health insurance.
That's right.
So that's good.
See what happens.
How are we looking on time here?
Well, we got about another 11 minutes.
Cool. So,
but I just want to remind any listeners that any time we do our podcast, that you can call in and ask Shan a question on any of the topics she talks about. 518-290-6601. And in the 518 area code, well, everybody pretty much has free calling now.
Yeah.
In the U.S.,
yeah. So,
but you do have to use our area code now, 518-290-6601.
Oh, and I do have listeners from Finland now.
Okay, you may have to put a one. You
may have to put a one. Yeah, that's I just right. Finland hopped on the map, actually. I just saw that. And a new state jumped on the map too, and I can't remember.
Probably because you keep talking about that vodka from Finland. Finlandia.
It's interesting to really just see how it gets around.
Sure.
Yeah, so definitely call in. I think I'm going to start like doing Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. You know how you can do Facebook mm-hmm. Live videos? I think when we record, I'm going to set up my phone and do Facebook Live.
Okay.
And then because that notifies everybody that I'm friends with that I go live, and then they can look at it, and then maybe they'll call in. Something. I know I do have a few people interested in calling in, and I still got to set that up with them. I do have somebody that wants to shoot around some ideas. But also, I want to thank you all. I got up to over 200 likes on the Facebook page now.
Neat.
Very neat. And I haven't checked how many downloads of the show that I've had in a few days, but I think the last time I checked was Thursday night, and it was at 166.
Wow.
And Monday I was at 127. So from Monday to Thursday, it went up like 40 downloads, and seems to be good. Someone messaged me the other day. They said, "Hey, are you a Grateful Dead fan?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Yeah, I figured by the name." I'm like, "You're the first person to catch it. Awesome." I've been getting a lot of good feedback too. People are like, "Hey, I just listened to your show. It's really, really great. I think the message is great. Keep it up." Stuff like that. And it's really good to see.
That's good. Really exciting. It is. It's a refreshing voice on issues that people don't think about or may tend not to want to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But you give a different view on a lot of issues. And I think they should be put into the main discussion of when you speak of the issues. So,
like I said, the prom dress thing, the first thing I talked about, that was on Fox News. It was on Fox News. This I watched the clip yesterday on the trip to Woodstock. I was like, look at this. Just watch this. And it was ridiculous. Like Fox News and all these other main news channels, CNN, all that, they all have a political agenda, and they're all about keeping you blind, really. They're more worried.
What did Fox have to say about it?
About the prom dress thing? Well, they were saying that it was ridiculous that she wasn't allowed, or that, well, she was allowed to, obviously, but that people were giving her hate for it, giving her a hard time for it, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. I agree with that, but I think it's crazy that that is the news. Why is that the news?
I know.
They're more worried about cats stuck in trees than they are killing people overseas.
I know it. But see, they pick up on these little things hoping to create a movement that you can't do that anymore because you're being insensitive to a certain group. And that's why some of these channels pick up on that, and they'll keep talking about it. And before you know it, there'll be some actor or singer that'll be making a statement about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
how it's just sad. You have to go get your news, like real news, from alternative sources now. Like, mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I learn so much more about what's going on from them than I ever would the news.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. See, crazy. News does not report news. They make
news.
It now.
Yeah.
See, it used to be that they would report the news, and you took it for what it was. But now they make up the news, and it's hard to tell where they're coming from.
And based on what side they lean on, the news will be completely
different. It may be completely, the facts may be there, but it's completely different from what the facts are.
I'm a firm believer, maybe call me a conspiracy theorist for this one, I don't know, it seems pretty true, that I feel like mainstream news media is just like all brainwashing, because if you look at it, I saw a video the other day that had the introduction of some topic they were talking about on like 20 different news channels.
Did I sent that out on Facebook.
Did you?
Yeah. Did you get it on Facebook?
And they were all the same, every single one. And it's really just brainwashing.
And then they started all talking at the same time, and it was like, this is affecting your mind.
It's scary. It's very scary. I can't believe it that we've come to this. I mean, I can't believe it, I guess. It's sad, but though. It is sad. It's very sad. So I do have some more that I did want to talk about, but I think I'm going to end it here for the day. So don't forget, you can find the live shows always on SaratogaBroadcasting.com, and then it's posted later as a podcast episode. Then there's always my website too you can check out. I don't have anything live on there, but I do upload it there, so it can go on iTunes. And so I'm on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn. There's this other podcast platform that I saw show up that I didn't even know I was on, and I can't remember the name of it. But that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, the more you're on, the more people listen to you.
Didn't even know. And then I do have my Facebook page. I like to give you guys some memes from now and then. Everyone likes a good meme.
See, you're going to forget all about me when you're on Sirius. You know, when you get on Sirius Radio and the... I don't even know
what that is.
Oh, it's not over the air, but it's on, like, you can get it in your car. And they have everything. They have, like, I don't know how many channels they get. It's a lot of news people, a lot of music, sports, probably people that podcast have a show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I won't forget about you.
That's big time.
I won't forget about you. No. And so, yeah, just keep looking at the Facebook page. I'll keep you updated. I try to have conversation during the week. I'm kind of like absent on the weekends from social media, so I'm more active during the week. But I've got some crazy things going on. I got a huge project I'm working on. I can't really talk about it because it's a surprise, and who knows if this person is listening, so I'm not gonna explain it to you. But when it's done, when it's all done with, I'll let you know what it was. I'll probably have some pictures up, but I got this crazy project I'm working on. It's taking a lot of my time, and so just busy.
You are.
So I think that's all for today, guys.